Amen. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. And I don't know if you know, but I'm sure all of you know, there's things like Facebook and is it tweeting? Tweeting and Twitter, and a lot of different stuff that people use to extend their voices. And so not only do we have the voice of our mouth, but have you noticed when people get behind a computer, it's kind of like people driving in a car sometimes. It's kind of like my own little kingdom that I rule. And sometimes people who are very kind and very nice in person, they get online, and all of a sudden, they have words for others that aren't encouraging, that aren't building up. And we're seeing it in our schools over and over, just the amount of cyberbullying that's taking place, and all kinds of, as we've created new forms of communication, a lot of that communication is used for blessing. But a lot of it is used to try and bring people down. And so today we're going to be looking at James 3, 1 through 12, and really looking at how important our words are. And when I think about, when I read this verse as a kid, and I was thinking about the words, I thought, oh, it's, what it's talking about is don't swear. Don't have, as my mom would say, don't have a potty mouth. But it's more than just the potty mouth. It's a heart set. It's not just words that are four-letter words. It's words of building up or tearing down. It's gossip. It's anger expressed through vocabulary. There's so much that goes into this. So let's start off. James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect and able to keep the whole body in check. So when I read this, I'm a little discouraged because as a pastor, I'm a teacher. But as fathers and mothers, we're in leadership roles, aren't we? As in all these different areas of leadership, there's places where we are in teaching positions. And we need to be careful because why is it that specifically for teachers and preachers, why is more expected, more responsibility given? Because those who are in authority affect people directly. And so I want to encourage you, pray for me, pray for our elders, pray for our church leaders, pray for our deacons and deaconesses, pray for our teachers of the children, pray for those who are in authority, because leadership is tough. And there are times where it's hard to have the right encouraging word. Sometimes when I, you know, part of my job is being with people as they're going through times of struggle, and often that includes times where people, loved ones, are in real trouble physically or even passing away. And I go visit them or their family while they're in the hospital. There's so many times where I really feel I don't have the words. When you go and visit somebody in the hospital and they're not doing well, what do you say? And sometimes just presence is enough. Sometimes presence and just praying, sometimes quietly, silently, sometimes out loud. And a few words here and there. But guys, the tongue, and we're going to be going over this, the tongue is a powerful thing. And we're going to see from the word here just how powerful they are. It is. James is quick to say that all of us stumble in many ways, especially in what we say. And it says here, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. Anybody there? Any perfect people? Good, because you're in the wrong place. All right.
And what they say is perfect. Able to keep their whole body in check. So really the tongue really is reflecting what? What's in the heart? The tongue is really expressing what's going on inside. You want to know what's going on inside a person? Man, listen to what they say. Not only the words, but their demeanor, that how they say it. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Teachers, we have great influence, and we're going to be held accountable. And I want you guys to pray. As a pastor, that's a lot of responsibility, guys. It's a weight I cannot carry in my own strength of how do we lead, guys. I'm as broken as the next person. Being a pastor is my job. It's my calling. But there's no difference. It's not set aside from early at birth to have this special. No, it's having to go into a calling that I can't do. And the Holy Spirit has to transform me and change me continually. And so pray for all the elders, because there's a lot of weight of leadership, of leading in the right direction, of hearing from the Holy Spirit and not getting ahead of God. And also having words that encourage. See, the real problem with the tongue is a lack of control. A lack of control. And our tongue can be an instrument that's used for praising God. It's also an instrument that can be used for cursing God and cursing people. So it's a powerful, powerful tool. And it says, for those who are perfect, since the tongue is so difficult to control, anyone who controls their speech gains control of themselves. I don't know about you. I don't like being out of control. I didn't not drink in high school. When my friends would see me come to a party, they'd throw me a grape soda because they knew I didn't drink. And so the reason I didn't drink wasn't because I was this incredible Christian. No, the reason I didn't drink, I was fearful about being out of control. And I watched guys doing things like pull their heads out of fish bowls and do things. It's like, I don't want to be that idiot. And so, I had this fear of being out of control, of what I might do, of how I might treat people. Further, our speech tells others really who we are. You know, it's interesting because we will look at certain people and think, oh, they're very wise, they're very strong in their faith. But if they're mean to people, they're not wise and they're not strong in their faith. Because to be mature in Christ, what's the number one thing that is the definition of maturity? Loving God, loving people. That's the foundation of it all. We know all the law and the prophets hang on those two things. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So that's where it starts, our hearts for people, for others, and for our God. And when we have that love of God, we're able to love each other with the love of God. And it doesn't come out judgmental. It doesn't come out discouraging. Because the tongue is a powerful thing. It's interesting. Julie and I were floating down a river on a weekend not too far ago. And as we were floating down, man, one of the things we were talking about was almost everybody around us has really foul mouths. It was shocking to hear the language of. And a lot of people, you know, it said everywhere, it said no drinking, no alcohol, and pretty much 90% of the people on the river had alcohol, and plenty of it. And that loosens up the tongue even more. And it was interesting, I was listening to a lot of people, but there was this group that Julie was using my flip-flops to paddle, and on her inner tube, and I was on my inner tube, no flip-flops, and we got to a place where the water got shallow, and I had to get out, And oh man, I was on rough rocks and it hurt. And I was like, no, what am I doing? And some people came over and helped me down the river. And it was like, okay, first of all, we noticed we're the old people now on the river. It wasn't that long ago. We were the young people on the river, right? And people kept calling me sir and things like that. And I was like, where's my dad? What's he doing here? Why are you calling me that? And so they helped me because I didn't have, so they all had shoes on and they helped me down. And oh my, humbling time. But the speech was so shocking. The speech, because for so many people, it was painfully shocking to the ears, because that's not a world that I'm in a lot. Now I'm in it when I'm, but often when I'm in social situations, people are not so free with what's in the heart. You know, we just have to really be aware that the tongue really speaks forth what's in the heart. And we see that with Peter. I mean, the Apostle Peter, when Peter was young, I mean, he was cutting off ears. He always had, I'll get it done. I'll do it, God. I'm there for you, Jesus. Over and over, he's boisterous. I can really relate to Peter because, man, when I was growing up, Peter was somebody that I said, that's me. Wanting to do what's right and kept messing up. And then after the Holy Spirit comes, after Christ dies and raises from the grave, and Peter is transformed by the Holy Spirit, by salvation, and knowing that Jesus is not just a teacher and a rabbi, but Savior and Lord. Peter goes from this reckless, wild man to bringing the gospel out to the masses in ways that are shocking of his obedience and his love. Not perfect, but the growth is amazing. So let's continue on. James uses here, now as we go for verses 3 through 12, James will use three paired illustrations to show the power of the tongue, just to make sure that we get it. The first ones are in James 3:3-4. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. As the first area that we see here in these examples is the power to direct. The tongue has the power to direct our lives, to direct what's going on. And the examples that are used here are the bit and the rudder. It's interesting because the rudder steers the whole ship through the water. This tiny little piece at the bottom in the back of the boat. I was talking with Jim. What battle was it that they took out the rudder? Man, imagine that. You don't have to sink the whole ship. All you have to do is go and take out the rudder. And then the ships go and they crash into each other and they take out other ships. It's genius. You see, the small thing that moves through, that's in the water, it controls the whole ship. The small tongue, though it's a small part of our body, it is a powerful tool. It is a powerful tool. Example is parents. And we got to be careful. We got to be careful because harsh words are a powerful negative tool. Is it important that we train and equip our children, that we discipline our children? Yes. But we discipline in love. We need to discipline in love. And that's going to take on many different forms. There's going to be different tools in the tool belt for parenting. But what we do, we use in love and in relationship for a purpose. And so parents, man, husbands, Guys, there's a responsibility that comes with having a physical presence. We can hurt not only physically violent by being physically violent. We can hurt our wives. We can hurt our children with our words. Often not what we're saying, but how we're saying them. But both are important. And there's just so much that we have to be aware of, because the reality is, we want the people in our families to know that the family is a safe place, that the family is a place where people are built up, where our children are encouraged and not discouraged. And when you blow it, dads, when you blow it, and I promise you, you will blow it, as you know, over and over and over again. There will be times where you mess up, where you're selfish, where you're exhausted, where you just want peace and you express it the wrong way. That's where we need to turn and say something that's really important to our children, which is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Daddy raised his voice and it wasn't right. Please forgive me. Those are words that bring the relationship back together. Take something that's broken and ripped apart and has no way to become whole, and yet through the love of Christ, it makes it whole somehow. And it is a blessing. The power to direct. A horse needs a guide, a rider. A rudder needs a pilot. And our Lord is the one that we need to allow to control our tongues, because we can't have our tongues transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit without God Himself doing it through us. I can't, apart from my relationship with God, just get it right. But when I die to myself and allow the Holy Spirit to work through me, now before I use my tongue, I'm hearing from God. Before I speak, I'm listening. And now, rather than the words of brokenness and discouragement, and isn't it true that so often, as parents, as spouses, as friends, isn't it true that so often, because of our own brokenness in areas of our lives, we break others? Hurt people hurt people. When we're struggling with something, when we're going through some hard times, or we haven't processed what happened to us as kids, I can't tell you how many times I've been walking with a brother or sister, and a brother shares with me what's going on, and it's something that happened when he was 8. And it's as real today as it was back then. And it's had all these years to brew and fester, and now, man, certain things happen, and this gentleman that I'm sharing with is living out what he experienced as a kid, but now he's on the other side of it. I've been there too many times myself, where I'm on the other side of it. Why? Because of my own brokenness. And it's painful. Harsh words. We got to be aware of the power of the tongue. Verse 5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Guys, not only does the tongue have the power to direct, the tongue has the power to destroy. The tongue has the power to destroy. And here we'll have two examples in these verses 5-8. The example of fire and the example of animals. And the fire, the size of the thing doesn't determine its power. The tongue is small, but it's powerful. And the tongue, it causes great destruction. And the tongue also loves to boast. I remember, for me, the words that were, I experienced a lot of challenges growing up, especially with my father. But something that was more powerful than the physical aspect was the words. And the words, you know, bruises heal, but words stay in there for a long time. They stay in there for a long time. And those words that are used, they can just rip you apart and give you a false identity. And so you start believing the lie of the wound of the other person, and you live as though that lie is true. And you're under the, man, you're in the cell of the lies of the words that were spoken to you. And guys, we don't have to be in that cell anymore. We can be free in Christ. I can't tell you how powerful it is to experience a full healing from the lies of the words being replaced. Not just that's not true, but the lie being replaced with the truth. You are a child of God. You are valuable. You are eternally valuable. You're so valuable that your heavenly Father gave His life. He sent His Son and gave His life for you. He died in your place because sin can't be dealt with, humanly speaking. All of us are imperfect, and sin has to be dealt with. And we don't get to heaven without perfection, and none of us make it in our own perfection because we are so far away from perfect. But God made a way where we could have His perfection. That's how much He loved us. It's easy to say the words, I love you, but to take someone's place, it's powerful. It's a powerful thing. Matthew 12, verses 34 through 35 says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." Guys, our mouths are important. What we say, it's important. Because I don't want God to look at me and say, man, there's so much evil in your heart, Matthew, that you're spewing evil out to others. I want Him to say, Matthew, that's where you were. That's not where you are now, and I've even got more blessings for you in store and more blessings for others through you because of this wholeness that I'm bringing into your life. What the tongue says, what the scripture says in Matthew, what the tongue says comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. Each year, thousands of acres of timbers, of forest lands are lost because of careless campfires. Started by what? One small spark. One small word can be a forest fire in the lives of the people around us. I remember, do you remember this, son? We were in Uganda, and I was trying to, we were doing controlled burn. What were we burning? Do you remember? I don't remember what we were burning. But we were doing a controlled burn, and it was near our house. And so we're doing this controlled burn, and all of a sudden, the flames are getting a little uncontrolled. And what was I yelling? Hey! Julie made so much fun of me, because I wasn't yelling, fire! Help! It's out of control. I was just yelling, hey! I was trying to get people's attention. Hey! Hey! I was trying to get people's attention. She was like, why didn't you yell fire? Why didn't you? Well, I thought people would see the smoke and get a clue, right? A fire can get out of control just like that. Just like that. The words, once a word is shared, it can go on. Gossip can become something that destroys and corrupts. And it just gets in there. And where is the truth? And people don't know. And now there's anger and Different people take different sides, and me and mine, and man, fire can burn and can destroy. And it's a mess. Proverbs 16:27 says, a scoundrel plots evil, and on their lips it is like a scorching fire. The evil that they're planning, and it comes out the lips, and it's this fire waiting to just explode the blaze. Man, when you see a fire moving, sometimes a fire can move when the winds are blowing faster than the person can run. The blaze is just coming. Firefighters, multiple times, and many firefighters have died. Why? Because they couldn't get out of the way of the blaze. It was moving too fast. The tongue is a flame. Through lies, gossip, heated words, it can set the whole family or church family on fire. And so we need to control this tongue. James 3:7-8, the second part of that is the animals example. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. I wish my dog knew those verses. Oh my goodness, our dog has started doing something that's really annoying me. And it's when somebody comes in, even me, Julie, I don't know why, but our dog started just going crazy barking. Didn't do that before, but just started going crazy barking. Man, and it's just like, please, please stop. And I don't know how to tame this animal. And if these animals that, I want the dog whisperer to come to my house. Because with the right words, man, the animal can be tamed. With the right understanding and knowledge, it can be tamed. Even my dog. Probably my dog. Maybe. Slight possibility. But nothing can tame the tongue in us. Can. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. James also compares the tongue to this poisonous beast here that can't be tamed. And outside of faith, the powerful tongue, man, it can't be tamed. And why? Why can't the tongue be tamed? What do you think? Why can't our tongue be tamed? Because it reveals the heart. Because there's sin in our lives. There's sin in me, there's sin in you. And so the tongue reveals what's going on in the heart. And we can hurt each other so powerfully, so quickly. John 8:44 says this, you belong to your father, the devil. Whew, that's quite a statement, isn't it? And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Guys, our words, we need to be truthful. We need to speak truth, speak blessing. What happens when you lie? You have to tell another one to cover up the first one. And then you told this one here to this person. Oh, and then I remember growing up getting confused sometimes. Which parent did I tell which thing to? Okay, mom, I said this. To dad, I said this. I got to keep mom and dad apart on this issue. And so anytime an issue would come up and they would have different information, what do? You either change the subject or you got to come up with a new whopper. And then these things are happening and you're wondering, oh man, every time the phone rings, what are you thinking? I'm going to be found out. This is the end of it. You see, now we're looking behind us. We're fearful because the tongue, man, it's caused our hearts to be shown. And the truth is, we're broken and we're messed up. And now we're anxious because every time that we hear something or somebody knocks on the door, is this when I'm going to get found out? Lies are the enemy's native language. It's the language he knows. It's, you know, when somebody comes in here and English is their second language, there's a lot of people who have just their second language. It's amazing to see how powerful their how good they are at their second language. But when it's your native tongue, you understand a lot. And in the English language, we have a lot of things that are said. Man, it doesn't make sense if you just translate the language. So, hey, you're from Finland. Welcome. Glad you're here. How weird is our language that we use to speak and we'll say things that don't make sense if you translate them very specifically. Yeah. It's crazy. But I don't want my native language to be from the father of lies, from the enemy of God. No man can tame the tongue. Only God can control it in me through his Holy Spirit, through himself. Proverbs 12:18 says this, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." I love that. The tongue is restless, it cannot be ruled, and it can spread an incredible poison, but a spiritual tongue is like medicine on a wound. Words of blessing, man, they're put on the wound, and the wound becomes the scar, and the scar reveals the glory of God. Fire is out of control, and it's a great danger, but under control, the tongue can be a great blessing. Our last set of is 9 through 12. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praises and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Guys, the power to direct, the power to destroy, and here we see the power to delight. The power to delight. The fountain and the tree have an opportunity to bring great blessings. But it's impossible for a fountain to produce both fresh and salt water. It doesn't do that. And it's impossible for the tongue to speak both blessing and curse and honor God in the process. How often we bless God in our praying and our singing. We come on Sunday mornings and we're singing, we're clapping, we're praying. And then we go home and use that same mouth to make a call, to get online, to bring cursing, to bring curses to the people around us, to anger the people around us. Proverbs 18:4 says, "The words of the mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a rushing stream." Man, this fountain is a rushing stream. And the rushing stream, I love that picture because it's a lot of blessing coming in. It's not a little trickle. See, the tongue is a tool that can destroy, but it can also heal in ways that don't make sense. And it's so little can go so far with the tongue. A few kind words can be a real blessing. Christians must allow the Spirit to forget to give forth both the living waters, to give forth living waters through the tongue, to be that blessing to others. There's something wrong with the heart when the tongue is inconsistent. Guys, hear that. There's something wrong with our hearts when our tongues bring both blessings and curses. Because that's not our identity in Christ. If we're believers, it goes against who we are, and we all struggle with it. Just like a part of verse 12, the first part says, "My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Likewise, the tree cannot bear two kinds of fruit." You got an apple tree, you're going to get apples. It doesn't make sense year after year. This year we're going to have cherries because the cherries are my favorite, and I've been praying. So this year, man, my apple tree is going to produce cherries. I know it. It's not how it works. Apple trees produce apples. Proverbs 13:2, from the fruit of their lips, people enjoy good things, but the unfaithful have an appetite for violence. We don't want to be producing stuff that discourages and destroys. We want to produce things that delight. If we want to have the fruit of our efforts be something that builds up and encourages. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. You want to know the best way that we can encourage and bless other people around us is to share the truth of the love of God. Because every single person is trying to figure out this whole life thing. And it's extremely confusing and it's painful. And there's more dead ends than you can imagine. And you try a road, you try a road, you try a road, and it's dead end after dead end after dead end. And we have the truth that leads to the road that goes all the way into eternity. And there is no dead end. There is no end. We get to share that with the people around us in love. Because we've been changed by the love of God, we get to give his love away. Guys, let's be brave. Let's be loving. Let's share the love of God with others. Let's allow the greatest blessing, sharing. Just share what God's done in your life. You don't have to know all kinds of theology have this great... Share what Jesus has done in your life. Where he's brought you out of being anxious and broken and where he's given you peace and wholeness. A tree can't bear two kinds of fruit. The fruit of the lips ought always be spiritual. This isn't be spiritual on Sunday and then, you know, we'll do our own thing on Monday through Friday and Saturday. No, when we're changed in the heart, it's not we act differently on Sunday, it's we're transformed. We're different from the inside out. So after considering these six examples, believers, we got to realize that we can't permit Satan to use our tongues against others. We don't want to be acting like the father of lies is our father. We don't want to live that way. We want our tongues to be blessing others. The wrong word at the wrong time could break a heart and lead a person down a difficult, difficult path that comes to a dead end that they don't know how to get out of. Our words are powerful, and we need to be careful. I want you guys to be thinking tonight when your head hits the pillow, be thinking, how in my life do my words need to change? Because really what that's saying is, where in my heart am I broken? What's going on in my heart? Lord, what is it? Reveal to me right now, God, please reveal to me. Where is my brokenness in my heart that I'm causing pain to others with my words? And heal that brokenness in me. As we don't want to put a Band-Aid on cancer. God deals with the cancer. He takes it at... And we become cancer-free, sin-free. In that area, we experience victory and blessing. Let's be really thinking, Lord, what do I need to put before you? What in my life am I trying to deal with in my own strength? I choose to bring. I lay it at your feet. I can't deal with it anymore. I've been trying to forgive in my own strength. I can't. I've been trying to just be better than that and not do that to them, and I can't. I'm becoming what I hate because I haven't dealt with it in my heart. Let me deal with it before you so that I'm transformed by the grace of God, so that now my words can bless and encourage others. Guys, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for love, your grace, your mercy, your understanding, your long-suffering, your patience with your people who sin and hurt others. Father, forgive us. Forgive me. Father, thank you that you do forgive. God, we ask that you would heal our hearts, heal our souls in ways that that allow the healing to be so at the core that now where we used to bring cursing and discouragement to others, we can now bring blessing and building up of those around us. Father, thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. May we be a blessing, a great blessing to many people in very small, everyday ways, over and over again, because of what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing in our hearts. Show us how to be transformed for your glory and for your purposes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that the tongue doesn't have to control us. This small, powerful part of us doesn't have to destroy us and others. That we can have victory in Christ Jesus. Lord, we're grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.